Okay, we want to continue our study with Old Ministry of Manifestation Gifts on page 4 of our study guide. We were actually talking about the characteristics of ministry gifts. The first one is it's, your ministry gifts are permanent. And the second is they're related to natural gifts. And then the third thing is that ministry gifts to some degree determine an individual's position in the body. And it's apparent with fivefold ministry. You know, if you look at the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter of Romans, where Paul talks about the body of Christ being made up of many members. And every member has his particular role. And God is the one that sets the members. It's not that you say, God, I want to be this, or God, I want to be that. God knew what you were supposed to be before you got here. And what we have to do is get in tune with the Lord to where we're properly located in the body of Christ. And so often you'll find that many people are dislocated. Consequently, they cause great pain to churches, to organizations. They're in the wrong position, or they want to be in a position that God did not call them to. And when you're out of position, is number one, it's affecting you. You're not going to do the will of God, what God's called you to do. And then the other thing, it's going to have a ripple effect. It's going to affect the whole body. Just think of a dislocated joint in your body. There's more hurting than just that joint. I mean, the whole body gets involved in that. It's the same way with the body of Christ. And so it's important to just follow the Spirit and never concern yourself with position. You understand, the best position for you in the body of Christ is the one God ordained for you, whatever that may be. You with me? I mean, if you think about the natural body, you know, everybody like to be a face, right? But what good would that be without a heart or a liver or a pancreas or all these internal organs that people don't see? But that's what keeps the body going. And let me tell you something. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is kept going with invisible gifts. It's just like a corporation. You know, people look at the executives of a corporation, but that's not what keeps the corporation going. It's the guys out there doing the job, making the parts, or doing the service that keeps it going. Now, the others obviously are needed because leadership is needed. But which position's better? The one God called you to. And be content with where God wants you to be, and don't try to be somewhere else. You may have a hard time with this, but I did not want to be a pastor. I laid in the floor of my house, and I the Lord told me that I was going to interim pastor at a certain church. And I said, Lord, I don't know how. Let me be somebody's assistant. But he didn't buy into that, you understand. And, but, you know, forget the positions. Because the bottom line is you're responsible for that position. And if you happen to be a teacher, James says they have more accountability. And so just be content with what God has given you and supply. You let that joint, that ligament, whatever you want to call it, your gifting, you supply the body with what God's given you because we need it. We all need one another. It's one body, and we need everybody doing their part and forget about which is better. I've heard people argue over, you know, well, and I'm almost said the country, but I won't. Okay, I'll back up. But I was in a place one time, and you know, I got there, and they introduced this guy. This guy's Bishop so and so. this is apostle so-and-so. Then this one is prophet so-and-so. And this one is deacon so-and-so. And I thought to myself, does anybody here know their name? Does nobody not know who they are? And this is a problem in the Western society as well, is people are wanting to pull a title on them to make them think they're important. All that's deception. Your importance is in doing what God called you to do, being where God wants you to be. That's as important as you can get. Thank God my heart's not wanting to be my face. I'd be in major trouble. And so would you, right? You could relate to that. Okay, good. And then, understand ministry gifts are gifted people. So, the person with the gift must be received in order to benefit from the gift. I want you to think of this. That you, and you can say this, I am a gift to the body of Christ. I'm not a gift to myself. A gift's given to someone else. So someone else should be benefiting by my life. Now, I'm saying I want you to say I. That someone else should be benefiting by your life. You're a gift. And so some people should be benefiting by your life, but that's not going to happen if you're not in the position that God called you to be in, doing what God called you to do. I have a tremendous appreciation for people that God puts in my path to help me. They can't understand how much I love them, because I know I can't do the job without help. No man is an island. I don't care if he is the bishop, the high potentate, or whatever. No man is an island. We need one another. So, just remember, you are a gifted person. Every one of you. You're a gifted person. We don't all share the same gift. So, what's the big deal? What if everybody was an eye? You're talking about weird. That'd be an unusual body, just, you know, with one big eye. But God's orchestrated this thing to where it's a functional body. Okay? And so, bloom where you planted. That's what I'll tell people. Bloom where you planted. Whatever gift God's given you, then do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. If it's serving, serve with all your might. We just lost. I'm gonna, you'll understand what I say. We just lost a servant because he relocated to another state. And I said, you don't know. I said, I don't want you to miss God. I want you to obey God. But I want you to know how much I appreciate your gift. I just want you to know how much I appreciate your gift. Just serving. One of the greatest servants I've ever been around. And did what he did well. You know why? He didn't want another position. He was perfectly content doing what God called him to do. And I'm going to tell you, the happiest you'll ever be in your life is doing what God calls you to do. Don't go for the gold. And don't go for the glory. You understand? Just be obedient to the Lord. All right? And then the other thing is, each individual is responsible for identifying and developing his own ministry gift. Now, I have to qualify this statement, because people will be wearing themselves out. What's my gift? What's my gift? You know, I don't know what my gift is. Well, do what you're good at doing. Do what comes natural to you. Do what you can do. And you'll start discovering your gift by being active. By doing things, you'll start discovering your gifts. You know, Sherry was just telling me last week they had an art show at the nursing facility, and so the staff went to the art show, and it's the residence's art. And there was a lady in there, I think she was in her 80s, early 80s, and Sherry was looking at her picture. She said, "It was a beautiful picture." And she said, "You've been doing art for a long time. Did you take art lessons?" She said, "I just started since I've been down here in the facility." And I told her, I said, "Isn't that a shame that a person has to get 80 years old before they understand what they're good at? It's because they haven't tried." I've tried a lot of stuff, and I have found things that I don't need to pursue. You understand? There's just some things that's not my forte, and art's one of them, I'll promise you that. Okay? But I wouldn't know that if I had never tried this, that, or the other. And so, don't be afraid to step out there. So what if you can't do it? What's the big deal? You know what you just learned? What you can't do. But the bottom line is, you do that, you're going to learn what you can do. You're going to learn what you excel at. You're going to learn what comes natural to you. Get locked into that. And then start excelling in what just comes natural to you. What do you enjoy doing? God is not going to gift you in something you don't enjoy. Now, you may have to break through some things initially, but you're going to find that you actually enjoy it. You know, I did not want to be a pastor, as people call it. And I still see it as oversight. You understand? That's not what I wanted to do. But I'm a happy person. And you have to understand what I mean by that. I've got a peace on the inside of me. I don't dread getting up and coming in here in the morning. I know that I'm doing what God's called me to do, so I'm happy. I'm not stressed out. You'll have days and problems will try to, but talk to the Lord. And don't let that stress you out. And I believe that whatever your gifting is, when you get into that, you're going to find, I really enjoy this. It's not that you're not going to have a bad situation to ever come along or something like that, but you handle it when you're where you're supposed to be. Okay? And you realize that all God's required of me is to do what I know to do. So what do I know? Then that's what I need to do. And then you find out what you excel at, and then excel at it. Your gift will open the doors for you. No one has ever called me to paint a picture. That would be a disaster. Okay? But they have called me to do other things. Why? Because they know, because of things that I've done, because I've stepped out, done this, done that, then they know that you can do that, and then they'll start putting a demand on that particular thing. And understand what I mean by demand, not making you, but giving your gift an opportunity to operate. Okay? So don't be afraid to try something that you've never tried before, and then let it be experience. It can be good both ways. If you don't do it, it's still a good experience. Although not to waste my time doing this. You follow me in all that? Okay. And so, you're a gifted person. Stir up your giftings. Stir it up. Don't wait for God to ride it across the sky or thunder. Start doing what you have an inclination to do. You know, some things that God speaks to my heart about are so faint that if you're not listening, you wouldn't even pay attention to it. And yet, at some of those times, when I've just, with an inclination that I should do that, is when it's really been powerful. And yet my head would say, just pass that one off. But listen to these little promptings that come to you and step out. That's how you're going to fulfill your ministry. And as you do that, you start recognizing what God's called you to do. And then you'll recognize, I'm a gift to people. Not to get a big head, but to understand that I'm here for others, not me. That's a whole different perspective for an American, isn't it? Yeah. So, ministry gifts will also provide leadership. And there's leadership other than apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. A matter of fact, you can read government. Administration. Those are leadership positions. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody in this room leads to a degree. You influence somebody's life. Either positively or negatively, you influence people's lives. People watch you. Now that could make you nervous. but understand what I mean by that. If you'll keep yourself aware of the fact that I'm being watched, so I need to make sure I'm behaving in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. I had a man to come to me one time, and he said, I just want to tell you this. He said, my son is watching you, and I was a few years older than him. He said, my son's watching you. And he said, I want you to remember that. And he didn't have to paint me a picture. You understand? Because I thought, I better change a couple things here. Because I'm not influencing him in a positive way in some areas. But I've never forgotten that. And I really appreciate the fact that the man in the right spirit came and told me that, because we're all influenced in lives for the Lord. Your gift is an influence. Okay? So don't split hairs over which is better. The best one is the one that's needed. You understand? I use it, and I do it in teaching in authority, but just humor me a minute. In maintenance, one of the things that I was responsible for was if we went out on accident, then I went out and investigated, and I'm not looking at police report. I know trucking. And so I'm looking to see where the error was, if what our error was, and this type thing, and if it's faulty equipment or anything else, then that's my responsibility. But in doing that, I observed some things. Where there's an injury, where there's an accident, you have different authorities on the scene. Obviously, you can have a police officer, you can have EMT out there where there's an injury. And now, usually the firemen respond, as far as traffic flow and things of this nature. And then I'm on the scene as the authority of that company to make this decision of how to move that equipment causing the least amount of damage. And we're talking about multiple thousands of dollars. And so, I got in a situation where a person tried to usurp my authority, and I moved my back. And I said, unless you're willing to take the responsibility for the damage of this equipment, then the person that you called had better not hook up to that truck. I've already called our people. And he got ill with me. But you understand, that wasn't his expertise. That wasn't his gifting. And I called for a crane and a wrecker, not just a wrecker, because I knew that if he hooked a wrecker up, he's going to drop that trailer in the road because it had broken the bolts loose on the fifth wheel, for anybody that knows what that is, okay? So, when the crane came out there, when the wrecker pulled the truck out and the fifth wheel fell on the ground, he was cordial to me after that. You understand? It's the fact of knowing and respecting one another's authority. Now, they didn't need me to treat the driver. You understand? They needed the paramedic, and it wasn't my position for traffic play. That's not my position. Know what your position is, operate in your position, and then let the others operate in their positions and don't have a tug of war. Okay? You don't usurp authority, and you stand your ground if somebody tries to usurp the authority of your position. And I'm not talking about in an arrogant, hateful way. And all I said was, unless you're willing to take responsibility for the damage, you better not hook up to that. I didn't say you stupid and all this other kind of stuff. You understand? That's where we get ourselves in trouble. Okay? So, I'm going to stay out of trouble and close this out so you can take your test. All right? And we'll...